The bliss of the abyss.
Once upon a time in a land far away, a poor farmer and his wife lived all alone. They were very lonesome.
Abyss.
With Robert Newmark Jones.
Hello.
Welcome to The Bliss of the Abyss, featuring your host, me. It's me. Hello, how are we all doing? I am doing okay. So, this week's show is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to kick things off with an interview that I did with Carpet Martin, man of the airwaves, as I like to call him, on the 3rd of June, that's last Wednesday. We chatted for about half an hour. And it's real funny, and we talk about all kinds of bollocks. Carpet is a great friend, a brilliant broadcaster, and a funny chap. So I would heartily recommend that you listen and enjoy. And actually, I managed to fucking sort the tech problems that I'd been having, so I've actually recorded it in a very professional manner. You'll be happy to hear. No sound issues here. I am but a jester in life's pack, as they say. And then this week's show is going to be a little bit different. In part, I'm going to have a little pause, and then in part two, I'm going to talk a bit about the protests and the movement and what's happening in the world. I know that's not normally what we do here on The Bliss of the Abyss, but I felt it was disingenuous to just ignore it and give you my usual blend of silliness and levity. So up top, in chronological order, I'll give you my funny interview with Carpet, where we laugh and giggle and have all sorts of fun. And that will be a lot of fun to listen to. And then feel free to just turn off if you don't want to hear me being quite sincere and talking about how we get change and move forward with love in a very complicated world. Okay. All right. Without any further ado, here's me and Carpet talking on the phone last Wednesday.
Hello?
That was a very quick answering of the phone.
Well, it rang, and I literally typed my number in, and then it started ringing, so...
Yep, that's the way it works.
Very, very easy press of a button.
The wonders of modern technology. How are we doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm a bit disappointed you don't have COVID. I hyped it to my thousands of listeners that you were one of the test cases.
I hoped I had COVID as well, because that would give me the herd immunity I needed after having a slightly bad cold, and I'd be all right, but nah.
No such luck.
No, very disappointed. But nevertheless, at least I'm not dead.
That's perhaps the most important thing in all of this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Things could be worse.
Things could actually be worse.
Not much worse, but slightly worse.
I just read some depressing news, which might mean nothing to you, but it made things slightly worse. So, which is that Krist Novoselic, the bassist from Nirvana, just praised Donald Trump.
I saw that headline last night. I didn't read the article. What did he say? Give me the facts.
I don't want to regurgitate his exact language because it was so depressing. But you know what it was, Carpet? It was all that language on the right-wing sites where it's all like leftist and strong with like three exclamation marks. And it was almost like it had been written by a Russian Trump bot.
Oh, crikey.
But it was the basis for Nirvana.
Well, his surname's Novoselic. That sounds a bit Russian to me.
Oh, hold on. Shit. Do you think he helped get Trump elected? Do you think he's an actual bot?
Do you think he's like the Manchurian candidate? And he's like, somebody's hit his kill switch and he's gone off. Maybe that's happened. Oh, Christ. Krist Novoselic.
Oh, well.
Like he was doing heroin all through the late 80s and 90s. And then he got elected as some candidate somewhere. And somebody's hit his kill switch.
Kill switch engage. Here we go. I think the world's ready for the new phase of Krist Novoselic.
That's it, isn't it?
Yep.
My word.
This whole COVID thing has all been a smokescreen. Now, as a man of the airwaves, that's how I like to think of you.
That is one of my yeah.
Eloquent. So, man of the airwaves.
Sure.
Man of the people as well.
Yeah.
Human person.
I definitely am.
Male.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We don't need to go through your whole bio. It's fine.
It's all right. I'm a cisgendered male. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Oh, I must have been given some incorrect facts about you. This interview will have to be terminated immediately.
Go on, what do you want to know?
You know what's interesting about this is that our dynamic... I'll get back to the question. We have been on air a number of times together on your excellent show.
Yeah.
But we're never allowed to swear.
No.
And now I can just say fuck to you. Whoa! We don't use that kind of language here. We're allowed fuck, but...
I just did it.
Don't worry, I'll bleep it. It's fine.
Okay. Piss flaps. I don't care anymore. I don't care. I've been off air for 12 weeks. I don't give a shit.
That was going to be my question to you. As a man of the airwaves.
Yeah.
Being off air and not being able to do that thing that you've been doing so regularly for a long time, many decades, have you found yourself going a bit more crazy than usual?
I'm referring to stuff as fucking more, as in that fucking thing, or this fucking thing, or go and get that fucking thing, I need that fucking thing. But other than that, no, not really. I'm pretty good on air. I can normally do it. You know?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. what are you saying? Like 6 times out of 10, you're giving yourself a low. Sorry, go on.
But I was gonna say I know where I am most of the time, and if I'm in a professional recording studio on the radio, then I know not to do a swear.
Right. You're aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't think I ever have.
No, I think I have almost a number of times, and I always sort of manage to morph my mouth into a different shape. So that the intention of the swear word was there, but the fact of the architecture of my face means that the word won't come out that way.
I had a musician on before lockdown, obviously, a few weeks before lockdown, and she said, shit, fucker, and motherfucker, all in one interview. 15-minute interview. Unbelievable. And it was like, you can't, please don't swear. And she's like, nah, motherfucker.
Wow. Was she punk as fuck?
No.
Meanwhile, just playing K-pop and then in between dropping N-bombs. And you're like, Jesus Christ, pick a lane.
It was just so unbelievable. It was like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Play the game. Don't do that.
Don't do that. I've got a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a unique take on coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19 or SARS-2, as it's also been dubbed?
I think... So, the government have recently relaxed the rules.
I like the way you said
on
that.
On going out. I honestly think everybody should go outside... Mm. And French kiss the nearest stranger. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next. I think everybody just should be French kissing. And that will sort the wheat from the chaff.
Okay, so now, lockdown. Before lockdown, you weren't a eugenicist. So I'm just wondering what happened to you to, you know, make you want to just selectively breed the future of humanity.
I've been watching have you seen The Boys from Brazil? I've been watching that. And I think there's some...
It's rubbing off on you.
I think there's some room in it.
So a mixture of herd immunity and also survival of the fittest.
Nazi extremism.
That's a nice blend. I don't think we've seen that concoction before. I like that.
That's what I'm going for.
Now, to the uninitiated, before lockdown, carpet was regularly drinking pint after pint of milk on the daily. Now, I'm hoping he's woken up because big milk is bad news.
You know? Is that like Big Pharma, but for milk?
But for milk, yeah.
Well, and then I'm sad to disappoint you. I'm still on 4 pints of milk a day.
Oh, no. Red Top.
I bloody love milk.
Red Top.
I love it.
Green Top. Blue Top.
Oh, Red Top. Oh. I'm skimmed.
He's not a monster, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't worry. Yeah. I'm skimmed. I like my milk with my water.
If in the course of the day, some milk or milk-like product, such as cream, makes its way into your comestibles, is that the word? Stuff that you're going to consume, do you then reduce the amount of milk you're going to drink as a consequence, thus keeping the average?
No.
That's just a bumper day then.
No. I don't even pour it into a glass, mate. I take it straight from the carton. I get a 4-pint jug.
Put your dick away.
I get a 4-pint jug and I glug it.
Is that why?
Absolute monster.
Is that why we're on a deadline for this interview? Because you have to go out and clear the shop of milk.
Get some more milk in. Yeah, well, I am actually going to go and buy some more milk.
Yeah, joking aside, that is a thing that's immediately going to happen.
It's not the only thing I'm going to buy, but it's definitely.
Speaking of buying,
two of the things I'm going to buy.
Did you do any? Did you do any panic buying when all of that was happening?
No. All that pog roll and stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Use your hands.
Use your hands, right?
No, and I didn't really understand it, and it just that seems like a long time ago.
I know,
doesn't it,
mate? We're on week 10 of lockdown.
I think we're on week 11.
Are we? I mean, I'm through the looking glass with it all as well. It does feel like a long time ago.
I think we're on week 11 or week 12. It's like, it just, but all that loo roll stuff just seems an age away, isn't it?
I didn't like it at the time. It felt like a sad indictment of where we were at. Well, the one thing I did quite like, and not that I'm anti-vegan, punchline given away, is that when they were clearing all of the... Not that I'm pro-vegan either. My take on veganism is we can move on. But when they were panic buying all the food
my
and stuff...
My take on veganism is it's absolutely fine. Don't fart in front of me. That's my take on veganism.
My take on veganism is that they don't eat any animal products.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only stuff that was left on the shelves. Everything else wiped clean. But all that weird fake soy isolate meat stuff was still in high stock levels. Can't be good for you, though, if it's all blended, mashed up soy isolate, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just... There's only so much protein you can have, isn't there, really?
Yeah, I know. Why doesn't someone tell the advertising gods that? It seems they're insistent on shoving a lot of protein into our bodies. Like, that's the most important thing.
Well, that's the one thing that comes out of the Atkins diet. That's what's done it.
But you know what happened to Atkins?
What?
He fucking died of a heart attack, massively overweight and early.
Oh, hello. Really?
It could be fake news. I'm pretty sure. He might not have been young, but I'm pretty sure he died of a heart attack.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who was Atkins? What was his first name?
Doctor. Yeah. Damn, you got there first. Go on, let's take a guess and then I'll Google it. What's your genuine guess? His first name?
I think Robert. He sounds like a Robert to me.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take it as an insult at me.
No, don't.
Too late.
I think Robert is a good name for a professor.
His name is Robert Atkins. Are you doing a bit on me?
No, I'm not.
What do you mean, no, you're not? How did you know his name was...
I guessed it. Is his name Robert?
Yes, Robert Atkins, American
That's
physician.
That's amazing.
What the...
That's amazing.
What?
I'm the Atkins whisperer. What do you...
Is this a skill you have in general? Just being able to...
Come on, give me another. Give me another.
Okay.
Give me another.
Okay, hold on. I have to think of another person.
Famous surname.
Another surname who we don't necessarily know. For some reason, Boy George is coming to mind, but that's his first name as opposed to his surname. Much harder to guess a surname. Cher? No, that's more of a one-name situation. Who's a doctor? A doctor or a mister or a professor?
Come on, come on.
They were all male. Jesus, what's wrong with me? Dr. Fox?
Dr. Fox. What, as in the DJ, Dr. Fox?
The DJ and, I believe, general practitioner.
He's not a general practitioner. okay, I'm going to go for...
Don't say Robert again, you knob.
Which makes me suspect that it's Robert. But I'm going to go for Simon.
I can reveal to you that his name is Neil. Unlucky.
No, do you know what? I knew that. Oh, bollocks.
Neil Fox.
Neil Fox.
Didn't have to Google it. I just knew it. Don't know why.
It's because the Dr. Fox poster's on your wall.
Atkins. And he's in my closet as well. He did. he did indeed die at 73, but overweight and of a heart attack.
About 73 is all right.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they get to 73, I'll be absolutely fucking stunned. So it's fine.
His widow did refuse to allow an autopsy, though. Would you? Do you feel like your widow would act similarly?
Well, I don't have a wife, so yeah.
Yeah, but by the time you get to 73, I'll have thought you'd have had a few. You'd have been through the ringer a couple of times.
Taking me to the cleaners. Yeah.
You ever done a fad diet?
No, I haven't. Actually, that's not true. I have. But only for like an hour or so.
An hour? Shut the fuck up. He's such a dick. That's just called a meal. What are you talking
about? I know. But it's like...
What was it?
I tried the Atkins diet. Basically, I just had a bit...
Is the end of this story I had steak and eggs one day? Because this is terrible.
I had a big fry-up. And then thought... Oh, I want some toast. A bottle of squash. So I gave up.
Yeah. I mean, you could say you never really started. Let's be honest.
Hey, I had the big fry up.
You had the big fry up, but I don't believe that's in the Atkins diet. I mean, he was all about fat. No, wait, it's not keto. But he was all like, no
it's all
carbs.
Meat and eggs.
Meat and eggs,
meat
yes.
Meat and eggs.
So wait, when you say fry up, you mean you had some fried... Like bacon, sausages and eggs kind of thing.
Correct.
No mushrooms, no beans.
No, none of the, no.
No hash browns.
None of the sundries. No, none of those.
Oh, sundries are they now?
It was all the meat and eggs.
Diversionary question.
Mm-hmm.
You're only allowed 5 items in a fry up. Which ones will they be?
Okay, fried eggs.
Number one is bacon. Fried eggs. Yeah, that's the most important.
Absolutely. Bacon.
Yep.
Beans.
Beans in at number 3. I do like the beans, but number 3?
Well, yes, because I'm working out what my last 2 are going to be.
I know.
And beans have to be in there. So Can I just say,
without perhaps being aware of it yourself, you are a slavish advocate of the Atkins diet. All 3 of those things are just protein.
A beans protein?
Yes. I mean, the sauce they come in is, I guess, sugar and tomato. But, that's what vegans, back to vegans, they eat a load of beans, don't they? That's a load of protein in them.
Why the fuck didn't I have beans on that?
You want to give yourself a good talking to back in the day.
I'm fucking believable. I'm a twat. Anyway...
I like the idea of you angrily lecturing yourself, sat there eating your eggs, bacon and sausage, being like, have some beans, you twat.
Right, egg, bacon, obviously.
Ops.
beans. I've got two more. Mm. Oh, what's going on there?
Okay, how about this? What's definitely not making the list?
Avocado.
Not traditional fried avocado.
Yeah, but I've seen Instagram. Those cunts can fuck off.
Beep.
Fucking pricks.
They pay my wage packet. We can't have you saying that.
Who puts a fucking avocado on a fryer?
That seems unnecessary.
Fucking waste of air.
There's places for avocado and places not for avocado. E.g.
Agreed.
On a pizza, don't be putting any avocado on there.
No. Or chicken.
Or chicken. On a pizza. But, yeah. Or what
chicken
about
on
those...
a pizza makes me very cross.
And what about when they, instead of a tomato sauce, they'll use a barbecue sauce as a base?
Oh, get the fuck.
I know. It's infuriating.
It's annoying. Unbelievable.
So we're
people make me sick.
Uh-oh. I'm going to use that audio and splice in all kinds of things you don't want to be saying. Wait, can I just get a clean take of you saying all the races that there are, and maybe just the word women... gays, the F word, if you're happy using it.
Just put it all together.
Yeah, we'll do a super cut. So we're at number four.
Number four on a fry up. I'm going to say a sausage.
Oh, again. So four items, all protein.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you need something to balance that out. You're not going to put black pudding in there as well, are you? That would be mad.
Well, I am from Lancashire, so technically I should say black pudding.
Instead
However,
of sausage.
Black pudding has no place in a fry-up.
Well.
There you go.
Controversial. Your countrymen would beg to differ.
No, they wouldn't. What? Because you lot fry black pudding.
You lot.
We don't.
Here he goes again. You lot. Suddenly.
We don't. We boil black puddings.
Okay. I mean, you didn't just split the atom, mate. There's like three basic ways of cooking, and you named one of them.
we have black puddings whole. So rather than having slices of black pudding fried, which is bad, we boil whole black puddings. Which is good.
Okay, I see, yeah. What's your criteria for what's bad and good here? I don't understand.
Whether I like it or not.
Right, okay. Yeah, I see. Because it was, for a second, it seemed like a moral judgment, but actually it's just a person's taste.
Oh, it's absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good. Damn, I was hoping some more fascistic stuff would come out. So anyway, we've got eggs, bacon, beans, sausages, and you're going to have... some really bad constipation after this meal, my friend.
Where are we up to? Eggs, bacon, beans, sausages. Oh, number five. Am I only allowed five?
That's the game, I'm afraid.
I'm only allowed five. Okay, mushrooms.
Yeah, good choice. Very sensible choice.
Thank you.
Yes, first sensible thing you've said all day.
Yes, definitely mushrooms.
Yeah, it's a good fry-up. I mean, the mushrooms will bring some water, which you desperately need, to wash some of that down. I guess the bean juice will have a bit of that. So you're not going to have any carbs. You've opted against toast, hash browns. These are the things you could have had.
I don't believe in hash browns on a breakfast. I don't believe any potato goods should be on a fried breakfast.
What about some chips occasionally?
No.
But you can dip them in the egg.
No.
Yes, you can.
No.
Carpet.
If you want a ham, egg and chips,
yeah,
have
I do.
Ham, egg and chips. But that is not a fried breakfast. No.
Why? Because it's not been fried? What? It has been fried.
I'm just not having it. Potatoes don't belong on a breakfast. That's all there is.
That's quite a universal breakfasty item because it's quite bland. It's, you know. So have you ever had a potato fall, for example?
Potato
fall. Yeah, it's. I think it's an Irish thing, or is it a Scottish thing? It's like a sort of. I think they mash up potato and wheat flour, and it turn it into a little square, and you toast it and put some butter on it. It's good.
That sounds fucking dreadful.
Well, what if you didn't have it for breakfast? Would you like it then?
Maybe.
The clock ticks past 12 and suddenly you want a potato. I think I understand.
I'll have it for lunch. I'm not going to have it for breakfast.
What are your thoughts on breakfast for dinner or brinner?
Oh, I'm a big fan.
But yeah, could potato make its way onto the plate then?
No.
Desperate to find a loophole.
Potatoes have no part on a breakfast.
Lunch is obviously the main potato meal then, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Baked potato, Sunday roast.
Yes.
Potato comes in.
100%. And you can have potatoes for dinner, but you can't have potatoes for dinner if you're having a cooked breakfast for dinner. And a cooked breakfast for dinner is perfectly acceptable, but you can't have potatoes on a cooked breakfast. So, therefore...
You're fucked. Yeah. I see. I see the quandary.
I mean, you're not fucked. These aren't laws. Just my opinion, and I will judge you if you do it.
Yes, I'm just worried that if we gave you a modicum of power, you would abuse it and enforce these as laws. That's my main concern, and that's why I'm going to vote against you in the local election. Sorry, mate. Hate to be breaking it in this public and direct way instead of secretly at the ballot box.
It's every possibility I would put that on my manifesto. No potatoes on breakfast.
There are sometimes those very special interest groups that get onto ballots, right, aren't there? Like, obviously, the famous one is the Monster Raven Loony Party, but like, single agenda groups. Do you know what I mean?
Like, do you remember, now, what were they called? The yogic... they were all about yogic flying. What were they called? In the late 90s.
Yogic flying sounds like the biggest bunch of bollocks I've ever heard.
What were they called? Oh, fuck, I can't remember.
I'm guessing their first name may have been Robert. Yogic flying, a natural extension of transcendental meditation. This is a thing, yes, people believe in.
Yes, what? But there was a party that actually stood at the election, I think in 97.
I'm going to fact check this. I don't have to necessarily do it now. What do you remember about it?
Just that's what they were into, like yogic flying.
But what has that got to do with anything about being elected or policy?
They crossed their legs and bounced up and down on their asses. It was amazing.
but what's their policy on the NHS? I mean, what do they think about economic stimulus
package? I have no idea.
You're right, the Natural Law Party.
There we go, that's it, the Natural Law Party. Yes, thank you.
Hold on, at its peak it was active in up to 74 countries. This wasn't just some fringe thing, this is...
Yeah, it was fucking bonkers.
This is, like...
Do you not remember this?
No, mate.
You're too young.
I was born in 85, so this is sort of... It must have been a thing when I was not
yet
cognizant.
Yeah, you
were
only 12. Yeah, the Natural Law Party.
Oh my God, George Harrison performed a benefit concert in support of the party in 1992.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew he was into the Hare Krishna stuff, but I didn't realise, Jesus.
He was fully mad.
He was fully, yogic fucking flying, an idiot. They got 0.10% of the vote in the 1997 general election.
Can I just say that 0.10 can also be 0.1.
I was just thinking that, and I was annoyed at myself for saying it, but I was just reading out the copy in front of me. And they consistently, throughout this article, stylize it as 0.10.
Sounds bigger, doesn't it?
Sounds bigger. Oh, wait. They control the narrative here. The NLP ran 8 candidates, averaging 0.10% of the vote with every candidate.
No.
averaging 0.10% of the vote with every candidate losing their deposit. Good. They probably believe in potatoes for breakfast as well. The heathens.
Unbelievable.
I know. I'm mindful of your time, so I will let you go. What have we learned, if anything?
Oh, yeah. What have we learned?
I feel like quite a lot. what's been your personal low light and highlight of the COVID lockdown era?
The low light is my cat dying.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, rubbish. And my highlight has been
Killing your own cat. Sorry.
Well, technically, I'd have put down. So, what's been a highlight? Fuck. That's depressing, isn't it? What's been a highlight? Oh, finally out, I've not got coronavirus.
Hey!
I took the test.
You took the test, yeah. Did they put something up your nose? Is that how it works?
Well, I put it up my own nose.
Oh.
It's fucking horrible, I've got to say. But it's obviously worth doing. And if you think you've got symptoms, then you should do it. But yeah, you've got to scrape the back of your throat. And then you've got to scrape up the back of your nose. Ugh. And it's fucking horrible. And I've got a really bad gag reflex. Like, I puke at anything. And that going at the back of my... apparently, I've not got coronavirus.
So, yeah, it's a positive note to end on. Although, of course, it's all a conspiracy invented by the Chinese. Sorry, what?
5G!
I'll let you go and buy as much milk as you would like.
Thank you.
I would say consider frying a slice of blood sausage and eating it with some potato, you bastard.
No chance. Absolutely no chance whatsoever.
Oh, mate, it's been lovely to talk to you. Would you come back on the show?
Yes, whenever you want.
Fantastic.
You let me know, I'll be here.
Fantastic. You're a treasure.
I've got fuck all else to do, let's be honest.
Right, go eat, drink, and be merry. I love you. I will see you later.
Love you too. Bye.
Ah, carpet. He's a good bloke, isn't he? I mean, he's fucking mental, though, isn't he? What's going on? And I know I didn't bring this up to him because, you know, he's been through enough, as you could hear. But his first name is Carpet. Like, that is a thing. And no, there isn't anyone else on Earth whose first name is Carpet because it's not a name. So the gall of the man to be telling us when we can eat our potatoes and how we can cook our blood sausage. I don't know where he gets his stones from, but my God, they're some big stones.
So there he is. There he was. There we were. Okay. Now for part two, I'm just going to have a segment here. I'm just going to just talk honestly and trying to work out the situation that we're in. It's not going to have any of the usual segments or silliness. It's just going to be unfiltered commentary about the need for change and the fight against racism and justice. Not the fight against justice. Fight for justice. So if that's not your kind of thing, or if you think I've got fuck all to say about it, you're probably right. But if it is your kind of thing, have a listen. Tell me what you think.
2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Recording.
I don't know. You know, I made a whole list of things that I'd like to talk about this week, but it doesn't feel like the right time to be doing stupid bliss of the abyss stuff instead of just the actual abyss. There's a whole lot of abyss out there right now. And the bliss amongst it. Where is it? What's my job here? Why do people come to this show? Short answer, they don't. It's all of our jobs to not be silent about all of this. It's some jobs people to be very vocal about it.
I guess for some context, it is the 8th of, what fucking month is it? 8th of June 2020. And protests against the murder of George Floyd have entered their third week, and the killer is due to appear in court today.
It's very difficult to get this right, because it's not my place to be talking about this. I mean, I'm a majority white person from the UK talking about a black man in the US. So the amount of crossover between our experiences is limited. I can speak from an empathetic point of view. Which is that there are very few justified reasons for killing anyone. And certainly the public murder of George Floyd didn't tick any of the boxes of justified. It's completely unjustified. And it's a disgrace and it's disgusting. And I hope that justice is served in that man's trial, in the other cop's trial. And I hope that whatever led that man to be that way, whether it be negative experiences, bad upbringing, maybe he's just downright a bad person, although I don't believe in such things. Whatever series of events that led up to that happening that day, hopefully some of the change that we see in the world will stop that being a possibility. Because we can't keep going on this way as a society, as a world. I really didn't know if I should say anything about this today, because what do I know? I mean, I've through my Jewish heritage, there's a lot of things I've learned that happened to family members who had to undergo systemic racism and tyranny sometimes on a small level and sometimes on quite a large systemic violent level. And on a personal level, I've experienced some fairly low-level anti-Semitism. But I'm able to pass as white. And in the Western world, that gives you advantages that are unfair. So my commentary on any of this, how valuable is it, really? I can lend my support to those people who are marching. I can lend some money. I can give my support in terms of money as well. I'll post a link in the show. I can stand in solidarity with my friends of different races and ethnicities. I can amplify the message that racism is stupid and wrong and evil and something that we have to work towards getting rid of. And maybe when I was younger, I thought that we could get rid of it entirely, and I don't think that anymore. Don't understand how that happens in this world. How all the variables and factors and seems like an impossible dream. But I don't think reform is an impossible dream. I don't think it's impossible to dream that people don't get murdered in public while their colleagues stand by, while the public watches on, while it's filmed. Thank God it was filmed. For God's sake. I don't have the solutions. Probably because the solutions are far too nuanced and complicated for me to articulate. Because all the slogans, underneath them, there is a truth. But the realities of actually enforcing those things, it's so complicated. So when you say defund the police, when you say Black Lives Matter, when you say end systemic injustice, that all makes sense in one way or another. I mean, defund the police, perhaps more complicated than the others in terms of you don't want to have no police. Of course, that's not what they mean. They mean the police forces we have are systemically racist. And whilst we have them in their current form, then we won't have justice for people. We'll have justice for some. You know? There's an amazing Chappelle Show sketch where it shows the difference between rich people and poor people, the way that they are treated by the police. And it's highlighted in the Breonna Taylor massacre. And I saw the Jeffrey Epstein documentary recently, it was shown by that. You know, they come to you, they give you warning that they're going to talk to you, they ask when it would be okay for you to come down to the station to hand yourself in or to have a discussion. You know, they don't burst in through your door with guns and start shooting. So yeah, no one wants that kind of police. For all I know, there are some people in that defund the police movement who do just think it would be a good idea to get rid of the police entirely. There's just some obvious logical loopholes there, isn't there? If your grandma is being attacked and there isn't a police, what are you meant to do? Who are you going to call, Ghostbusters? Who are you going to call? How does that work? Take justice into your own hands. What if you're an elderly person too? It's the same problem I have with those libertarians who are like, just privatize everything, privatize the police, privatize the health service, privatize the people who make our roads, privatize the fire brigade, privatize the hospitals. Yeah, so make it even more imbalanced, so the wealthy have even more privileges and the poor have even fewer than they already do. I've seen that Minneapolis has voted to abolish their police department, which is where, of course, the murder took place. So, that's not... Is that defund the police? It's not like Minneapolis is not going to have some type of law enforcement agency, though. I guess the idea is we start from scratch and we put rules in place that are less systemically racist. And so that end systemic racism, end police brutality, those kind of blanket statements, again, I agree with them. But it's like, I can't say who this person is, but a friend of a friend, let's put it that way, was working on a government department to end child poverty. And they had a target of 2050. She'd been working there for a little while. And, you know, in a late at night moment of sort of quiet despair, was like, I don't think we'll hit our target. Yeah. Because you can't end child poverty. How do you do it? How in God's name would you do that? You can work towards it. It's a philosophical problem. You can work towards that perfection, but you can't actually reach it. What? How would it work? I mean, I understand what the steps might be, what this step after this step after this step would actually be in order for that to happen. But at the end of all those steps, I don't believe you ever finally finish that, because people get brought up in terrible environments, with bad parents, with no advantages, with all the disadvantages. So there are loads of steps we can put into place, and we should be putting into place, to end systemic racism, to end police brutality. But people are racist, people are brutal, and by all the good metrics and measures, those things are becoming less. But because they're becoming less, that doesn't mean they arrive at zero. It's Zeno's paradox. To get there, you have to get half the way there. To get half the way there, you have to get a quarter of... I'm not going to explain logical paradoxes on here. It's disgusting what happened to that man. And it's amazing that we now have the biggest civil unrest for 50 years. And largely peaceful. And from what I've been able to make out, most of the looters, if not all, I mean, there must be a tiny overlap, are not affiliated at all with the protest. They're just bastards being opportunistic, taking advantage of shit. So some of them are bad actors. Some of them are agents provocateurs. Some of them are just opportunists. Some of them are just opportunists. But the people out there who are protesting, the people who have been doing it every day, the people who are marching and organising, they're not looters. They're not there to riot. They are there to peacefully protest, because enough is enough. And it's been enough for a long time. So I would urge everyone who can to use their body and protest safely, using a mask, trying to distance. And if you can't do that, donate so that other people can, or so that they're able to help in their way. Not everyone can be on the front line protesting. People can be in the office. People can be on the phones. People can be typing up literature. People can be sending out emails. People can be donating money, time, resources, food, healthcare. There's things we can do for each other. When human beings unite against a common enemy, it can produce some amazing things, especially when that common enemy It's not a person. This isn't scapegoating. It's an ideology. A stupid old ideology. A tribalistic, primitive ideology. I've never understood racism. I've never understood it. It's so patently obvious that we're all humans. It's so patently obvious. I mean, our idea of race is even a human construct. Yes, there are different types of people. And sometimes there is genetic difference between them. But the things we have dubbed different races, a lot of the time is just arbitrarily drawn borders. Sometimes not even drawn by the people who lived there. Drawn by a colonial imperialist force that designates you are now this and you are that and you hate them now. Well, great. It's easy to make us hate. Unfortunately, it's easy to turn brother against brother and sister against sister. But you know what? It's also easy to unite us. And when we have a stupid common enemy, then as long as we are patient and we know we are on the right side of history, then you have to believe justice will prevail. Change is going to come. You have to believe that. We've seen it can happen. And change is frustratingly slow. Requires ungodly amounts of patience. But progress has been made and progress will continue to be made. As long as we can just be patient and civil and decent and righteous, then justice will pull through. So I hope these protests don't stop until justice pulls through. Thankfully, here in the UK, guns are far less widespread, and in general, you just never see them. Certainly, you don't ever see a civilian with a firearm unless they're about to do something very dangerous and you are in a lot of trouble. So you might see some police with firearms. Even that is quite rare. But in the States, those people are even braver because they are marching amidst a backdrop where sometimes everyone is armed. Some states, they have open carry. You can just walk around with a firearm. Just displaying it. It's that easy to just kill someone. So that's one step you can take as a society. Let's not have any more of this open carry, provocative way of living. Having a gun just like that. Let's not make it defensible in law that you're allowed to subdue someone, if you're a police officer, by kneeling on their neck. Let's make that not okay. Especially if they are already in handcuffs. There's actually a video of George Floyd before they knelt on his neck, being handcuffed and led away. He's not even resisting arrest. It's my understanding that he was put into a car and then taken back out of the car, put on the sidewalk, and then his neck was knelt on. Let's make that not acceptable. It's already not acceptable. Let's make it completely illegal. There's no justification for that. especially for an extended period of time. Especially once that person has lost consciousness. You know, there's people who say there's no such thing as systemic racism. And to them I say, you're fucking idiots. That's a good philosophical argument. There we go. Ad hominem. Of course there is. You just look at arrest rates. You look at conviction rates. You look at relative conviction sentences and lengths. There was a stat I learned the other day. How many? This one fucking blew my mind. Minneapolis police rendered 44 people unconscious with neck restraints in 5 years. So since 2015, 44 people. In that time, they used neck restraints 237 times. And in 16% of the incidents, the suspects lost consciousness. How many of those were caught on video, eh? In most cases, there was no apparent underlying violent offence. Three-fifths were black. So you want to say there's no systemic racism? You have to go a long way to explaining those facts. If you go on those poisonous right-wing sites and you go into the comments, you see the way that they defend things like this, and it is utterly inane. Totally stupid. They will pull out any fucking trick out of their playbook to defend the indefensible. And when you've got the fucking moron in chief in charge, they feel even more justified in doing this. I mean, I fucking... You know, there are days when you just think, well, he's just a joke. He's a moron. He's an imbecile. So there's things he does that are just fucking gobsmackingly stupid that they're actually quite funny. Like the way he's such an idiot or seems to be weirdly obsessed with his daughter or seems to be toadying up to dictators. Like, those are so fucking stupid and un-American and undemocratic. The way he puts his own family and members of positions of power or says things in a dumb way. I mean, he's a fucking WWE character. He was on the WWE, been over that. But then you see his reaction to stuff like this. I am the law and order president. What does law and order look like to you? Trump. It looks like military on the streets, does it? Looks like firing tear gas, clobbering people around the head. So what? So that you can stroll outside a Bible and hold it up upside down, by the way. Hold an upside down Bible. Isn't that what the Antichrist would do? And people go, is that your Bible? It's a Bible. I mean, so it's things like that where you're like, in amidst this horrific show of dictatorial impulse, peaceful protesters tear gassed so that he can stand outside a church without asking the people in the church, of the church, if that's okay, without inviting them there maybe to say some words. No, just so I can stand out here holding a Bible upside down and looking tough. Because it's almost funny, except it's so fucking horrific. Yeah. So we've got So there's 5 months until... It's 5 months until there's a chance he's fucking voted out. And that's not going to fix systemic racism in the US. But it's going to move the needle somewhat towards progress instead of relentlessly against it. Instead of defunding the EPA. Instead of gutting out all these, anything Obama did that was good. Let's not even talk about the things Obama did that were bad. Trump probably got rid of them as well because he's fucking vindictive little baby. But at least if he's gone, at least if he's fucking gone, then we don't have to... But that's 5 months' time. That's 5 months' time. So... what do we do instead? For now, we protest. We do what we can. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you can do what you can until change happens. And real change, not bullshit, not fucking head in the sand nonsense, not denial, actual change. It's possible. It's possible. We've seen change in our lifetime. We've seen how quick it can sometimes happen. Look at the way that gay marriage was legalized in the US with the stroke of a pen. And that doesn't immediately make everyone not homophobic. But it does something. It sends a message and it enshrines something in law. And we need to do that now as a society. We need to start enshrining things in law that protect and stop the use of these clearly racist, totalitarian impulses, practices. Because nobody wants this. You know, I really believe that most people... I mean, let's say there's a spectrum between a fucking evilest person on earth and a complete saint. Most people are just somewhere in the middle. Maybe most are fucking slightly towards dickhead. And that's what makes the good people seem even more special, because there are less of them. But the majority are just somewhere in that middle. And that majority don't want people to be executed in the street. They don't want there to be an underlying, institutionally sanctioned form of racism. They want freedom. They want peace. They want family, friends, security, safety. These are the things people care about. So the people in charge that we elect, at least in the West, by and large, they have to be the agents of change. We have to march. We have to petition. We have to get our voices heard. But they are the ones that sign the bills and pass the laws. And so long as we keep using our voices, pushing for change, change will come. I can't believe I've been talking for half an hour. I don't know. Those are my thoughts. That's all I got. I mean, for now. That hopefully made some sense. I couldn't just sit here and be my normal, ridiculous, silly self. It would be disingenuous, and it would be turning a blind eye to what's happening in the world right now. And that's not okay. It's not. So I've said my piece on it now. So to those of you who listened through all of that, thank you. And I hope what I said made sense. Okay. All right, that's the end of our show this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, if that's the right word. I would be really interested to hear your thoughts on anything I've said there. I am by no means a perfect person, far from it. I'm just trying to come at it with my heart. And if my heart is slightly in the wrong place, or if my words have come out slightly incorrectly, please do message me and tell me how and in what way. Open dialogue and discourse is the only way we can really achieve any kind of positive outcome amidst such scary, crazy times. So, all my love to everybody out there. As I do every week, I'm going to end this show with a message of love and support and unity. I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's what we need. Not now more than ever, always more than ever. We just need love, compassion, beauty, empathy. See everybody as your fellow man, your fellow woman. Everyone is equal, no matter what. We all are. Remember that. Remember that in all your interactions with everyone, be they in a position of power over you or in a position of zero power. They're a human. They're a complicated thing. They came into this world. They will leave this world the same as all of us. And shit happened along the way to make them who they are. Just remember that. It's a complicated mesh of so many different elements that weave together that create that person in that moment doing that thing. Try and look at them with understanding, love and compassion. And try and call them out if they did something out of order. And try and support them when you call them out. And not just attack, not just hate. That's not going to get us anywhere. It's not. Constructive love and passion and beauty is what's going to unify. We need to unify. You, me, everybody. Okay? Keep going forward with love and unity and passion and fight the good fight. I love you all. I'll see you next week. Mwah. Mwah. Thank you for listening to the show. That was The Bliss of the Abyss. All music provided by the incredibly talented Nils Hennis-Steer. If you have anything you'd like to say, positive or negative, send it to theblissoftheabyss@gmail.com and I'll see you soon.
She's calling seasonally here and now, but I guess not, so I guess I will talk to you tomorrow, and have a good night. Talk to you then. Bye.